I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
It was nice to see Jaren Jackson Jr., as much rust as there were, and there was a nice little layer of it, especially offensively, all over him. It was great to see him back in the lineup. He obviously missed, 14 games this season with recovering from the foot surgery this offseason. We'll presumably see him again on Friday for block Panther night, Friday night when they take on OKC. So hopefully Jaren, who played, about 25 minutes in the loss.
It was not 25 minutes because of fouls. He got there because of minutes restrictions. So,
that's right. One foul. Jaren. Okay, 3 of 14, did go 0 of 7 from 3, 7 points, 6 rebounds, but he gave you 5 blocks.
Crazy.
Remember, this is a guy who led the league in blocks per game. That's why they call him the Block Panther. Led the league. He gives you 5 in his first one back. Imagine what his feel's going to be like once he's in there a couple of weeks. 2 turnovers, 1 foul. What'd you think about the return? Saying, was it about what you expected from Tripp?
I know that we only do who brought the seasoning once a week. We've already done that this week. We awarded those awards. But my friend, Jaren Jackson Jr., he gets the award because that brother was not only rusted, that brother was seasoned with rust on the court. I don't know if you've ever been to a wing restaurant. They put way too much season on there. It looked rusty.
Yes.
Your seasoned wings look rusty. That's what that brother looked like. He was bathed in rust seasoning.
He wanted to get that off before Block Panther night. You were right about that. Wanted to get that off. Right.
Yeah, because I hope he got all his misses out the way because he got 7 of them bad boys of the night. And I kind of felt the way about that because I was like, Jaren, like, bro, this is a real game. Like, this is like the Pelicans, bro. Right. Like, I'm not telling you I expect your shot to be on, but man, you took 7 of them things though. Like, bro, you couldn't stop at 3, 3.5. You know what I mean? Bro, you took a whole 7. Well, over 7. You're killing your percentages for the year because you got to go crazy just to get back around 30-something%. He had a couple drives to the basket that were good. Good to see that he went out there fouling. You would have thought that the guy who was out of shape, especially in a game like that, would have been reaching and grabbing guys. Didn't see a lot of that. Maybe that's came from just kind of sitting back and watching the game from the sideline as opposed to being on the court. Maybe he's seeing the game a little differently. Maybe had time to reflect about that. I think defensively, because my thing was this. If like we said this on the last podcast, I don't really care anything about Jaren really shooting the threes, whatever. If he could just be, when you've got a guy like Desmond Bane with John Morant, but that's your backcourt, they can give you 60-plus points in a given night. Jaren, just play crazy defense, stay on the court. All of our numbers suggest that when Jaren is on the court, period, that we're good. We're good. When Jaren's on the court, we're a good team. If he could just stay out there, play defense, knock down an occasional three-pointer when called upon, we're good. And I hope that that's kind of taking some of that pressure off of him. I don't really, we took a loss, so I can't really say exactly how he impacted the game. I'm sure that someone out there can find numbers that support that. I'm not a numbers guy. I pride myself in not being a numbers guy. But, I mean, he was fine, and I think he'll only get better in time. I think that he's still learning his body, and you'll see that out there as well. Like you said, Jaren's 23 years old. But it seems like we're watching his body have a metamorphosis in front of our eyes from the kid he was, you know, as a rookie. It's good to have him back, though, man. Like you said, Black Panther night is Friday at the FedEx Forum. I'm sure he's going to get a lot of love. But, yeah, man, it just really sucks that we don't have Bane. But bringing Jaren in defensively, hopefully guys can kind of settle around. Because not only is it an adjustment offensively, it's an adjustment having a player that good out on the court with you defensively. Now everybody has to see, okay, we got Jaren out here. All right, okay. Now we can kind of settle in and do our thing, let our ears back a little bit. So there's an adjustment even when a guy, when you get better, you know, technically you have to make those adjustments too. So, you know, it's going to be a good thing.
Let me ask you this, because we kind of touched on it. Would you say he's the second most important player on the team ahead of Desmond Bane because of what he does and how elite he is defensively? And then sort of plus the combination of what we all kind of hope he can be offensively, what he's flashed at times off.
Man, are you talking about a guy who's
your pecking order in terms of that
guy who you're saying?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, I'm going to put it to you this way. Like, it's hard to say that a guy who is clearly who the league has identified as one of the top five best defensive players in the NBA. It's hard to say that guy is not the second most pivotal player on your team.
Yeah.
But are we saying that Marcus Smart is the second best player on Boston? No, we're going to say it's Jaylen Brown all day long. So I right now, man, I've got to say it's Bane, man, just because of how important the three-point shot is in today's NBA. And maybe a little bit of that is just being hell-beaten by watching old Grizzlies teams that didn't have any shooting at all. Now we got one of the best shooters in the league. Maybe that might be what excites me so much about Desmond Bane. But like I said, Jaren's phenomenal. And it might just be a case of, you know, out of sight, out of mind. We might start seeing over the next few weeks how important Jaren is to this team. You know what I mean? So I don't know, man. Don't make me answer that.
No, I think it's hard because he's a guy capable of being obviously defensive player of the year. You make a great point about Smart. Right. But Jaren's higher up the pecking order. It is for Smart.
I'm about to give you an answer.
Get off the couch and answer the question. Exactly.
Let me give you an answer. Who is the second most important player to this team?
Hold Sane down. You're right. The producer's saying, make him answer it. He's right.
It's
make him.
It's Bane, bro. Like, it's
because it's hard to say because of the jump he's made. The jump he's made this year. It is.
It's made that backcourt of him and Ja. Like, I sat there and watched us battle against Kyrie Irving and fucking Kevin Durant, and they won. They outdueled them.
Yeah. And them boys had, 37 apiece? Kyrie and KD had, 37 apiece. John Bane had, 38, something like that?
But with that being said, if Jaren is playing prime basketball, you talking about a trump card, man. Like, if Jaren's rolling and those two guys are rolling too, you damn near unbeatable, bro. Like, if you got that's your top three?
I mean, that's what it's been crazy about the Grizzlies is how much the deck's been reshuffled. Mm-hmm. Like, at one point before Ja gets here, is sort of Jaren's team, right? The previous administration.
You want to build around this unicorn. Right?
Then you get Ja, and Mita becomes clear. It's his team. Jaren becomes two, but then for a time against Utah and playoff, Dylan kind of moves into slot number two. But then, bang.
Defensively.
Plus Bane, the number 30 pick in the draft, freaking Bane comes into the mix, and then he moves up the deck, and the you have to reshuffle it in the and the pecking order is different, man. But it's a good problem to have. It's a good problem to have. In terms of one more thing about Jaren's return, who does it help the most? Which player does his return help the most?
Dylan Brooks. Two reasons. I think that it there's one more person that, Dylan can kind of, you know, defer to, that you can kind of let Jaren cover, you know, some of your offensive load. Plus, I think when you're a guy who's guarding that point of attack guy, when you know you got the Black Panther behind you, you can kind of, you know, just like in a fight, man. When you got them goons behind you, you can talk plenty of shit because you know what's about to go down. You know what I mean?
Right. Like when Chris got Big Gabe back there, he can talk a little bit more.
Exactly.
Got his 8-year-old partner that, you know, like big, outweigh him, outweigh everybody.
Gabe and CJ got Josh back there. They can talk a little bit more shit. You know what I mean? So you got that whole thing. But I think Dylan's going to be affected by it the most, especially on the defensive end. I think he can gamble a little more. You know, he can do, you know, he can, when you know Jaren's back there, you know, you can play a little bit wilder, man. So, I think it's going to be Dylan for sure.
Yeah, you can. I'm looking forward to seeing what Jaren looks like against OKC. I don't think it'll take him long because it looks like he's been healthy for a while, man. So, hopefully offensively, it's just a matter of him. Man, I'd rather see him get the rust off of that game inside the arc rather than trying to.
The threes kind of bother me, man. And I know we got to talk about the Charles Barkley thing. I got an unpopular opinion when it comes down to that, too. And it is going to tie into Jaren. So –